You're listening to Crypto and Grill. Hello and welcome back, Crypto and Grill. Here we are. I'm your man, Edmond Dantes, Crypto Dantes on Twitter, and I'm here with my boy, Stig of the Pump. Stig, say hello.
I'm still salty after the last episode.
No, you're not. You're pretending. Let's pick up from the last episode. I'm going to go straight into this. We're not going to talk about the markets. It's been even worse than it was over the last few days. And where are we now? We are 16th of August, and everyone is praying for a gradual bounce between now and ETF approval, hopefully. But as we all know, as we've done our reading with Bitcoin, we are all believers in the Bitcoin system, the Bitcoin infrastructure. And an ETF approval is, one, coming at some point in the future anyway, so we're not worried about that. And two, irrelevant, because Bitcoin transcends everything else, is the message that I've heard.
You're such an idiot.
So
before you do that, current affairs, we should talk about what the hell's going on in Turkey.
Turkey is a really valid point right now.
Era.
Although it's an interesting one, right? I'm torn between using Turkey as an example or not. In the first couple of episodes, we talked about Bitcoin as a store of value, and it's an incredibly efficient way of transacting and sending money across the world, and that it's in countries of hyperinflation, it's really a good idea to store some of your wealth in Bitcoin so that the currency isn't devalued and you don't lose all your wealth. The problem is with Turkey, the Turkish lira, even though it looks on the chart as if it's fallen off a cliff over the last few months, it's still a better investment than Bitcoin would have been if you'd bought it in January. So, we can't be too quick to...
No, it's not a one-size-fits-all application, is it? If there's financial distress, put all your money in crypto. We are not saying that.
Which is good advice if Bitcoin hadn't crashed so much. So if you didn't do it at all-time high and you're doing it now, it's fine. So for those people in Turkey that bought in at or around or during the last sort of month when things really started going wrong, then I expect that long term they will be fine. Bitcoin for me, permabull, it's only going up. I'm one of those crazy sort of conspiracy theory people that thinks it's going to a million, maybe more. I'm right up there with the McAfee of the world and the who's the other guy, Tim Draper, who thinks it's 250k in about the next 18 months, something like that. So
if you are in Turkey though and you have bought Bitcoin on the back of this, tweet us, we want to speak to you. I think it'd be cool to get someone on the line and actually see what it's like.
That is a great idea. Anyone in Turkey...
One of our five listeners, if you're from Turkey, give us a shout.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Even Latin America, anywhere, Venezuela. Hablo español un poquito, así que hacemos la entrevista en español si quiere. So we can do...
Wish there was a mute button that I could control.
Yeah, look, the lesson there is Turkey's going through some difficulties, and Bitcoin is and the economics behind it, the longer term macroeconomics behind it, would help to avoid people having all of their wealth destroyed. Anything else to say on that one?
No, I think that's it. That's it for current affairs.
So picking up from last time, what we started to cover was altcoins and exchanges, and moving that Bitcoin and the Ethereum perhaps that you've bought into an exchange and buying something that you have full belief in a project of, because you're in it for the tech, not the money. Now, one thing that we didn't mention actually in that episode, I just thought was worth going over just now. If you ever wanted to withdraw that money from an exchange, which you probably should, and in the next episode we'll cover security and how to store your cryptos safely. If you want to take it out, let's take Binance for example. You withdraw, so you click the withdraw button. You enter the amount of the relevant currency that you want to withdraw. Just assume that's maximum, then press the maximum button in Bitcoin, sorry, in Binance. So you withdraw the maximum amount of that particular currency to a particular address. Now remember, it always has to be Bitcoin to Bitcoin or Ethereum to Ethereum or my personal favorite, Zilliqa to Zilliqa. Whatever it is, has to be
Oh, shilling.
one for
Oh,
one. Oh,
shilling.
absolutely. I own shitloads of Zilliqa, but it was worth nothing right now.
None of it is. It's all fine.
And if you've done that and you click confirm, what then happens is you should get a two-factor authentication approval. So you just close the app, you go into your Google two-factor authentication, fire that up, and it gives you a six-digit code. You remember that or write it down very quickly, and you put it go back into the Binance app, or on the actual web page itself. You type that number in and press confirm. At that point, you then get an automated email from Binance, and you have to go into your email and accept that or click confirm. I always refresh my browser as well when it does that because sometimes it crashes my Safari for some reason. And I think that's the trick to withdrawing coins.
I mean, let's be perfectly honest. It's probably a long way off before any of us make any decent money out of this space. So you'll probably know how to do this by the time comes, but it
Yeah.
will come.
And as you said before, though, Stig, it's about securing your investment and making sure if the exchange Binance, for example, was to be hacked at some point, you know you've got it. So it's less about withdrawing your profits, more about just storing it securely. I think there's another point as well. There's a lot of junk emails going around, and not all crypto sites are recognized by our sort of centralized Gmail, Hotmail kind of servers. So always
Check your junk.
check your junk. Yeah, always check your junk. That is just good life advice again. Two episodes running.
It applies to everything. My bins in my kitchen. Is my
Rest
junk full? Check my junk.
your meat and check your junk. They're the two things last episode and this episode that I'm taking away. So this one is an episode that we wanted to a short episode. We wanted to fire through some education resources. Now, myself and Stig are relatively, I want to say obsessed. I think that's probably the right word. But we also have quite intriguing minds and want to know more. And not everybody does. Some people just want to get in for the experience, make their speculative bet, and go for it. I think we've tried to express as we've gone along how important this is that you invest some time understanding the core fundamentals underpinning Bitcoin and Ethereum and smart contracts. And we did that in the other episode, episode two. If you haven't heard it, go back and have a listen. It's quite dry, it's quite boring, but it should
That's because you
help
talk
you.
too much, though.
It should help you in the space just to get a bit of a more basic feel. This one, we
Thank you.
wanted to talk to you about some of the things that we ourselves have learned about and how we've gone about tackling some of these massive concepts. So I'm going to kick us off.
And as we go through this, actually, what we should probably do is make sure that we point out the things that we think are it. This is all. There's tons of resources around. You can find and read and listen and watch as much as you want to, but there are probably very specific things which are kind of key regardless, and we'll make sure that we point those out, the kind of three or four things that are a must.
Cool. So we've broken it down into videos and documentaries, books, podcasts, white papers, and other useful articles. We will try and get some kind of website spun up at some point where we can store all of these resources and maybe even decentralize it so users can add to it, although someone else has come up with that idea already. Wikipedia. With videos and documentaries, I think the best, personally, the best two places to start, really easy watching. Most people have got a Netflix account. If you haven't, I think there are copies available even on YouTube. The two things that I've found most useful, The Rise and Rise of Bitcoin and Banking on Bitcoin. And they're two separate ones and documentaries.
I've actually never watched either of those two. Okay. Should I?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they're great for anyone, newbies, people that have been in the space, and it brings a level of clarity and understanding because they explain Bitcoin, you know, with graphics and with a very simple, simple sort of explanation that needs to fit into a broader context. So you have to be able to understand the rest of the documentary. You still have to get these basic concepts into your mind. So, you know, the Rise and Rise of Bitcoin is an interesting one. That really is. I think it might have been an independent documentary, but it's this
the one not on Netflix, isn't it? That's the one that's sort of generally online.
It was for a while. I'm not sure whether the rights have expired for it now, but it's it might be in different locations around the world. It might be available, but the Rise and Rise of Bitcoin, it covers the core concepts of Bitcoin, how it came about, what mining is, and how to secure the ledger and the transactions, and it also actually does a deep dive into Mt. Gox, the exchange that we've referenced a couple of times that crashes, and how that was hacked and what happened before it, during it, and the fallout, and it kind of charts the rise of Bitcoin from around about $100, I think, up to about $1,000 per Bitcoin. So it's a really interesting time because you can start to see it through that documentary really starting to take hold in the world and how mining really starts to increase exponentially, especially in areas like China. Mm-hmm. So that's a great one that I've personally enjoyed. And Banking on Bitcoin is an interesting one as well, because that kind of takes slightly different stance, but again, it's more documentary based and it covers some of the interesting people and events in the Bitcoin space. For those of you that don't know, the Winklevoss twins are of Facebook fame, you know, the Harvard rowers who had that lawsuit with Mark Zuckerberg over who really invented Facebook. They were introduced to Bitcoin very early in its life and have been heavily invested in it since, and not just owning Bitcoin itself, but actually trying to build Bitcoin businesses. They own the Gemini Exchange. They filed for an exchange-traded fund with the SEC, which was rejected. And then they
there's lots of talk about an ETF at the moment and the SEC. Let's pick that up at the end of this episode and maybe explain what's important.
Yeah, I agree, and it's more just a bit of context, but that was one. There's many ETFs going on at the moment that are being applied for this, which is why eventually one will be approved. But the Winklevoss
funds, lots of people, it's probably, I mean, even me, I'm like, what is that really, why is that really important? So it may be worth just covering that briefly at the end.
Well, I think if we can,
or are we covering it elsewhere?
I'd love to get an economist on, or somebody, or a trader, or an investor, or somebody to talk about ETFs in general, and we'll probably do that. I think it's worth exploring, you know, the concept of why that's an important addition to the space.
But maybe Bitcoin, we can get one of those big crypto Twitter traders to come on.
That would
have
be
a chat.
That would be a dream, guys. If you're listening, come on, we need some help. So, the Winklevoss twins are covered in this documentary. It covers regulation and the introduction of a Bitcoin license to run a Bitcoin exchange and business in New York. And I think it covers the reasons why some people, or some of the early innovators in the space, chose to leave the US and base themselves in areas like Panama and other places around the world, just because of some of the...
Zug in Switzerland, Crypto Valley.
Yeah, exactly. So lots of places around the world are benefiting from the early regulatory efforts by the state. So it's fascinating from that side. And also you get introduced to some kind of iconic figures that I'm sure are going to be remembered quite well in the crypto space, like Charlie Shrem, who ended up going to prison for fraud. But his story is very interesting, and again, he was one of the key figures that helped grow the space and an adoption in the Bitcoin and crypto community. So again, you've got a lot to thank for his efforts, and Eric Voorhees as well, a guy who's all over the place in terms of investments and startups and influence. He's been really key in this in the crypto space, and he currently runs Shapeshift, a crypto exchange. So they're the two kind of most digestible videos and documentaries, because they're, you know, know, they've got some stories and they also cover the key concepts. Mm-hmm. And if we start taking more of a deep dive into traditional things, let's take a couple of books. So looking at books, you know, I'm a fan of audiobooks. Got quite a long commute, and all of these things are actually quite good listening. If you're interested in the space, then it is quite eye-opening. So number one on the list for me...
The voiceovers are pretty annoying, though.
Yeah, I wish you could change those.
Like yours.
I wish I could give my own voice, apply my own voice to an audiobook. I think that would be fantastic. There must be some AI projects
Are you pitching for some work? If anyone needs a crypto audiobook... Crypto Dantes is after his first gig.
Well, I think ultimately most people, if you're in this space, you know, you back yourself, you probably like the sound of your own voice, you know, and I certainly do. And you know, I think that there must be some kind of key string of words or phrases that you can just speak, and it converts an audiobook into you reading it. So that would be a dream come true.
Love your own voice has not been made evidently clear throughout the first 4 or 5 episodes we've done.
Projects. give me a call if you need some help with that one. So Bitcoin Standard is great for commuting. That the Bitcoin Standard by Saifedean Ammous is probably one of my favorite books in this space. It really dissects what Bitcoin is, what the technology underpinning it is, why Bitcoin is better than gold, the foundings of money, where money came from, and what we hold as our current understanding of money from a Keynesian economics perspective, and why actually there may be other viewpoints that would be better placed and a better replacement for that. So it's a fantastic deep dive into everything Bitcoin, economics, covers sociology, history. It's a really good read, and I'd highly recommend anyone that's serious in this space to get into it.
And that book is predominantly on focused on Bitcoin and money and the concept of money, opposed to the whole ecosystem. So I think the difference between each of these books, actually, or at least some of the ones that we're going to recommend, they actually have very distinct things that they look after, or that their point that they're trying to get across. And so having a nice blend of them actually gives you a good understanding of the entirety of the space.
Yeah, I'd agree. And I think the one health warning with the Bitcoin Standard is that, you know, whilst I love everything in it, there's some things that I do disagree with. And I'd love to discuss with Saifedean, the author, about it. But you know, he basically says that Bitcoin is...
Plugging.
Yeah, give me a call.
You're either shilling or plugging.
Yeah, I'd love Saifedean to discuss it with him, because what he says basically is Bitcoin is the only crypto that matters. All the other cryptos are shit coins and they're going to die. Now, I don't know whether he means that in the sense of sort of competitors and things that will replace money. In that sense, I might agree with him, although Bitcoin still hasn't addressed its scaling challenges and hasn't overcome them yet. Maybe it will.
And maybe it may not need to.
Exactly, but we will see. But the thing that he misses in that is actually, you know, I believe in the entire crypto and blockchain space and a lot of the other alternative coins that power other concepts and smart contracts. So, you know, I don't see them as money. I see everything else as tokens and things that that facilitate distributed, decentralized databases, which means that you can remove trust and create new systems and create automated systems that don't have central authorities within them. So I'd love
remove
to debate
trust,
that.
Create trust.
It creates trust. So remove central authorities by creating trust. Yeah. Thank you for
hate,
me up
hate,
on that.
Hate to pick you up on
you got
your
my back.
There.
You got my back, Stig. You got my back.
Get your lines right.
It's like an audio version of that scene in Mr. and Mrs. Smith with Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie back to back taking everyone down. Anyway, so
that is a weird analogy, but okay then.
So yeah, Bitcoin Standard, fantastic, but do take some of the quite strong points of view with a pinch of salt if you like the entire space. But it's fantastic reading anyway. Another one that I just wanted to talk about, there's two more I wanted to talk about actually, was Crypto Assets, Chris Benisky and Jack Tata. I'm not sure. But
ta-ta.
That one is fantastic read in terms of, again, good history, good breakdown. But it talks about portfolios and how to become more of a serious investor and what the right blend of assets, cash, equities and crypto assets should be in a sort of investor's portfolio. If you're looking, if you're a serious investor and you've got a background in equities and traditional stocks and shares, but you want more risk
or any other asset class,
exactly, but you want a bit more risk and you want some exposure to crypto, this is a really good book to give you some frameworks and understanding on that around what to invest in, because you know there are 1500 or so cryptocurrencies out there right now. Do you just buy Bitcoin or do you just buy Ethereum, or what about these other altcoins? Maybe you could have a basket of goods, a basket of cryptos that you can kind of invest in, and this is a really good framework for that. So crypto assets,
yeah, and it's very good at going in detail on the sort of tokenomics and the token drivers behind everything as well, which not many of the others do, which is good because they do vary depending on what you're buying or what you're looking at buying.
Exactly.
Most annoying audiobook ever, though. I would read this one. Sorry for whoever did the voiceover for this, but it's such an annoying voice.
No, I agree with that. Another one, The Internet of Money, which is in two volumes. That's Andreas Antonopoulos, another key figure in this space. He's basically given a series of speeches, lectures, talks at universities and all kinds of different events over the past few years. And a number of them have been consolidated and compressed into a series of short notes forming two books. They're both fantastic reads and use different case studies, different examples, and touch on the Greek crisis, touch on Cyprus that we've discussed previously in other episodes.
I highly recommend it. It's probably what we're trying to do with our podcast, is to try and give as much breadth as possible to this space, and that's what those do.
If anybody ever compared Crypto and Grill to The Internet of Money or the works of Andreas Antonopoulos, I would be just beside myself. That would be the biggest accolade ever, but I sincerely doubt it.
Five listeners, we've got to remember that.
And final one from me on books was The Blockchain Revolution.
I was going to cover that one.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll hand off to you on that one and you can roll into podcasts. The other one that I've heard that is highly recommended, but which neither of us have read, is Digital Gold by Nathaniel Popper. Laura Shin mentions this on her podcast that Stig will take you through in a minute. But I've heard it's a fascinating read. So it's one that I do plan to pick up myself. So Stig, over to you.
Yeah, so I've ended up more with actually probably the technology end of this, but that's okay. That's the way we roll. So if you are more interested in finding more detail about the technology, blockchain, distributed ledger, everything in that sort of space, then there are definitely a couple of books that really, really stand out for me. There's lots actually that you can go into, but I think the majority of them end up going too far towards the technology. And into real depth, and therefore, unless you're really, really hardcore interested in it, then I would suggest sticking at these two and then maybe progressing if you so wish. So the first book is The Truth Machine, and I always recommend people starting with this one from a technology perspective, but The Truth Machine, The Blockchain of Everything by Casey and Vinya. It's a phenomenal book. It's actually one of my favorite non-fiction books. And it's so good at articulating the technology and the use cases. And actually, the use cases are really what brings this whole space to life. If you're looking beyond it as a form of currency, i.e. Bitcoin, or a store of value, i.e. Bitcoin, then this book is really, really good at articulating. So what does it mean for housing ownership? What does it mean for banking systems? What does it mean for identity management? And it's brilliant at articulating that. And then really, Blockchain Revolution is kind of the next level of detail. So it's a Blockchain Revolution by Tapscott.
Yeah, I think it's Don Tapscott is the
Don
author.
Don Tapscott.
Yeah, he's a kind of quite a venerated lecturer and
thanks for that.
From Canada.
Your input was great. Well done.
You're welcome.
Did you just Google that?
Anything? Yep, I'm on Google right now. According to Wikipedia, Don Tapscott is a well-known. Anyway,
Blockchain Revolution. It's very, very good. It's slightly heavier technology read, and that's why I would always recommend read The Truth Machine first, if you get your kind of fix for the technology, then I would say it probably covers most of the things that you need. But if you want more detail, definitely hit up The Blockchain Revolution. It is a very good read. Those are the two big ones, actually. I think if you were to only read two things about the technology, from my perspective, those would be the two. Books, that is.
Nice. Take us through, what about podcasts? Oh. Go straight into that one, yeah.
Well, obviously, there's Crypto and Grill.
Boom, plugged in.
Say a few things about that. It's just the best, quite frankly.
Our listeners know that already. Next.
And if we don't have a million viewers by this time next week, viewers, you can't view this. If we don't have a million listeners by this time next week, then we're not shilling ourselves enough. Good intro podcast. Unconfirmed and Unchained. So Unchained is the infamous podcast started by Laura Shin. It's had everyone from the crypto blockchain DLT, the whole ecosystem, investors, developers. It's just having everyone. And they're a phenomenal set of podcasts. There are lots of them. So I would definitely, you don't have to listen to them in sequence either. So I would definitely dip in and dip out and find the things that you want to. Someone will suddenly recommend one of them to you, which has someone new in, or you're fascinated by Ripple for some reason and you want to listen to Roger Ver talk. They're just a great, great group. So I haven't actually listened to many Unconfirmed. Or the Unconfirmed podcast, also by our delightful Laura Shin as well. And I'm not actually sure of the difference between the two. Do you have any insight on that? Or
no, totally with you. I don't really know what the difference is, but you know,
look, this is a good opportunity.
Yeah, come and explain. What's the
come
difference?
And come and explain the difference.
Explain yourself.
Actually, it would be great to get her on about what it's like to actually build a podcast. That would be cool.
Yeah, we need that help. Unchained, fantastic interviews. You know, she gets the top names in crypto, in blockchain, in the entire space. And I don't really know the difference, but either way, just get both of them on your listening list. And you the amount of information that you absorb and you learn from each one is always fascinating. And she does represent it quite fairly.
Actually, that is the one side of her podcast that I would say is better than the others in this space, is her ability as an investigatory journalist. That is a hard word to get out. She's very, very good at that. Cool.
My favorites as well. There's a couple of fun ones that are good to listen to. They kind of blend education, information, and just good banter as well. That's Wrecked podcast and Crypto Street is the big one. They've only really been going for sort of about 12 months now, I think, maybe not even that long actually. But they are—they've got all the big names, and they typically tend to focus on trading, get a lot of crypto traders on to talk to them.
Both of these do, don't they? They're quite sort of heavily.
Wrecked is quite new, so I don't really think they've necessarily defined themselves as a trading podcast yet. But they're both quite fun, Crypto Street, good guys, good listening, easy listening, and they've both got cracking intros as well. Good bit of drum and bass. So
sounds like that you want to be friends with them.
I'd love to, yeah. So Crypto 101 is another really interesting one, and Cup of Crypto, both break things down at basic, simple levels, and again get occasional interviews in. Crypto 101 and Cup of Crypto are two other ones that I quite enjoy, which again, the more you listen, the more you'll understand the space, you'll hear the same terms repeated, and it'll start to sink in, and you'll finally start to understand what a distributed ledger is, what a blockchain is, what proof of work means, what proof of stake means, that kind of thing. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about? I know one of your favorite documents, which is the white paper. No, there's two white papers.
Well, there's two white papers, and you have to read the Bitcoin white paper. Firstly, because it actually, unlike most other white papers, is not particularly long and it's not particularly complicated, but it is, it's where it all started, really, I guess. And therefore, it's a really critical document to read. It gives you a first-hand mindset a first high-end account and mind an introduction to the mind of Satoshi Nakamoto, whoever they, it, he, she are, ethereal being from the future, Neo, maybe. Read it. It's brilliant. And then one of the really seminal pieces of work around distributed ledger technology was the UK. It came out of the UK government, actually, surprisingly, which is the Lord Walport Report, which actually does have a sexier name, which is, for the life of me, I can't remember, actually. It's blockchain and I think it is just blockchain and distributed ledger technology, which isn't really that sexy at all in the slightest. I'm quickly going to talk very slowly and try and find out what it is called from Google.
It's probably got quite a dry title, but regardless of that, it's the Lord Walport Report, and it does cover things in actually really good detail, and it also goes into some use cases as well, which is something that we really want to cover, future use cases of blockchain and smart contracts. Again, it's
beyond the blockchain. That's what it's called. I have just Googled it. But it's a really good paper. It's been translated in about 20 plus different languages. It was seen as kind of the seminal paper which a lot of the institutions and organizations in the world that are now developing blockchain technology for industry have taken a lot of their thinking and drive from. So it kind of started a lot of the movement from an enterprise perspective.
Nice. Cool. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about? Any other useful links or other things, or generally your views on education and learning in this space?
I mean, so I find that a large part of like my reading ends up driving me towards Medium and Medium articles, and there are so many of them that we could list out that are brilliant. Loads of stuff on Hacker Noon is phenomenal as well. So I think there's specific places you can go to and you can kind of go and find out what you want. Like, I love going into tokenomics and some of the sort of philosophical and sociological side of what's happening around this space. Other people are more hardcore tech, and certainly I know if you're more on the development side, heading towards GitHub, Reddit, those sorts of forums. But anything online, there's just tons of stuff. I have to give one shout out. Some of the work by Jordan Greenhall, who writes on Medium around some of the philosophy around central authorities and decentralized futures, I particularly love. There's something called Deep Code, Understanding the Blue Church. That is my one recommended online read if I was to pick one out of any.
Nice. And do you know what, just while we're here as well, I may throw one of mine in that I quite like. I think it's called The Bullish Case for Bitcoin, which might be an article from...
You're such a maximalist, aren't you?
Well, this is the thing. I don't think I am a maximalist, because I actually value other cryptos and blockchains and other tokens. I'm not sure whether that means I'm a Bitcoin minimalist, as in I believe that Bitcoin is going absolutely to the moon and it is the number one currency that will dominate this space and will continue to dominate this space. But there is space for other things. I think it's a guy called Vijay Patel. I'm just going to double check.
You can do some Googling. I'll fill in. There's another really good article on tokenomics, actually, which is a really good one that people should pick up, which is it's pretty basic. It's a Medium article, and it's called Tokenomics, a Business Guide to Token Usage, Utility, and Value. Not that catchy, but it's, again, a really, really good article that explains the different types of tokens and the value that they drive and how they function, basically. It's a good one.
Nice. It's a chap called, so it's The Bullish Case for Bitcoin, and it's a chap called Vijay Boyapati. Now, I'm not too sure about who he is or what the what his background is, but it's an incredibly well written article, it's really good, really worth a read, and it'll again takes you down the rabbit hole and makes you ask more questions and continue that learning journey. Two things from me before we finish. Twitter and Telegram. So I'm going to field Twitter. Crypto Twitter. I mean, it's normal Twitter, but everyone just talks about crypto on it. If you start getting into the podcasts and you start following Laura Shin and the presenters of these other podcasts, and even ourselves, actually, let's go in and see who we follow. Your thread simply becomes just full of tweets about crypto, about what's happening with Bitcoin, about the entire space. Personally, I found that has been one of my best learning resources, because you see articles on there, the news drops within seconds of being announced. There's really good reviews of trading, and you know, what's Bitcoin going to do next? Is it going to go over the next week from 7,000 to 5,000, from 5 to 6? What's happening and why? And again, if you follow the threads and just follow each link and see what everybody's saying, you'll be able to pick out who's good, who's bad, who's just talking nonsense. So apply some common sense to it. Don't blindly follow what everyone says, but you know, there's a massive amount of knowledge that you can take from crypto Twitter, and it's a
pretty engaged space, isn't it?
It's so engaged, and it's really good banter, and it's brutal and vicious as well, and it will make you feel very stupid, but it toughens you up as well. If you put yourself out there and start commenting and tweeting and, you know, get involved in stuff, then it is fantastic for engagement and really pushing your boundaries.
Definitely, actually, one of the overriding themes, I think, from crypto Twitter is that ultimately everyone is doing it to help everyone else upskill, because it is a very complicated space, and actually the underlying thing is helping people or helping new people succeed in this space.
Exactly. And ultimately, everyone's here to win. Everyone's here to make money early. And one of the great things is the pat on the back and the reassurance that it provides you, because it's pretty lonely doing this on your own, especially, you know, none of my friends are interested in it. You know, it's hard to talk to anyone about it. Nobody's interested. They think you're involved in some kind of scammy cult. So
let's imagine what this podcast would be like if you're just doing it by yourself.
Exactly. So, you know, it's a place that brings people together. You've all got the same interests, and you know, if things are going wrong, there's definitely some advice on how to deal with it. You know, Stig took us through his advice in the last episode, which is whack a massive rib of meat on the barbecue and just invite some friends around, which is just good life advice again. I'm going to take you through mine.
What was that tweet of that picture today, which was on Twitter, which was the Trojan horse filled with Bitcoin, and it's basically describing any time that you go to see your friends, when you're trying to start a conversation, you start a conversation with a Trojan horse, and really all you're leading to is a discussion about cryptocurrency and how obsessed you are with it.
Exactly.
And that is so true. Like, so true. Anytime anyone says anything, and I'm at dinner with anyone, and I'm just like, how can I talk about crypto?
Literally last night I had dinner at a friend's house, and just dropped into conversation. You know, we were trying to sell something. I was saying, look, I'm just trying to convince my other half to sell this and just buy some Bitcoin with it. And the two guys I was with just kind of giggled, and they were like, yeah, but that's a scam though, right? Oh, and I had to bite my lip almost bled. I said, no, it's not a scam. It's going to 100K next year. Don't you know? I can send you some links. It's just, yeah, you've got to just bite your lip.
I know a good podcast.
So, yeah, look, crypto Twitter will help you feel engaged and back you up if you're feeling down. And there is really some good advice on there. And to finish off, Telegram.
Basically, everything in the crypto. So Telegram, for people that don't know, is a decentralized messaging service, fully encrypted, and it's where basically everything is discussed about crypto and blockchain. Pretty much all crypto projects, if you go on any of their websites, they will have a Telegram page. It's a massively engaged community. There are some... The thing that you do have to be really wary about with Telegram is... if you start engaging in a specific crypto group, or you're interested in an initial coin offering and you join someone's group, the chances are you will get a direct message from someone which ultimately is very scammy. The one thing we will always say is never ever give any of your details away about your private keys, anything that's your public, other than your public address, your main wallet address. Don't give anything away to anyone on Telegram. It is the one thing that you may get in that space. I've actually been really fortunate. I've barely been communicated with, mainly because I just like watching. But it's really good. All the major projects are massively engaged there. I'm looking at mine at the moment, and I've got some up-and-coming projects. Like, the guys at Origin Protocol are doing some cool stuff. They've got a really engaged group. Radix DLT, New Cypher, Fetch AI. They all communicate with their communities through Telegram. So definitely get involved in Telegram.
Cool. And for those that don't know, actually, Telegram is basically WhatsApp, but it's not many people.
Sorry, I probably should have led with that, shouldn't I?
I don't know that many people actually out of the crypto space that know what Telegram is. I don't know if that's a sign of age, but yeah, so, you know, just download it, have a play. It's very similar to WhatsApp, but less secure. And yeah, it's where all the crypto conversations go on. So hopefully that has been a useful educational episode. We should
probably do a quick shill for good old Ollie245 crypto chat, shouldn't we?
Big fan of Ollie245. Hopefully we'll get him on at some point to talk about his mining project that's coming up. But yeah, his group.
Just a big community, isn't it?
At Ollie245 on at Ollie245 on Twitter, and that's the name of his Telegram group as well. It's a great learning resource. Some really helpful people. Most of them are UK based. But there's TA, there's a bit of shilling going on, there's discussions about projects. Most people love Zilliqa in there. Join the group and, you know, ask some questions.
Don't talk about credits.
And there's a couple of other projects they don't like. But the worrying thing about Ollie's group is that they mostly support Liverpool Football Club. And that just depresses me entirely, being a Manc. But, you know, there we go. Right, enough.
From Manchester.
That's enough for today. Why do you support Newcastle? I mean, it literally makes no sense.
Alan Shearer.
That is enough for today. Take care, everyone. We'll see you soon. Next episode we're going to talk about is security. So how to keep your coins safe and what the risks of hacking are.
Is it our first interview as well?
Our first interview. Here we go.
Boom. Here we go.
I've been Crypto Dantes.
And I've been Stig of the Pump.
See you soon, guys.
Peace.